Welcome to the BS Show. Are you ready to shoot the... The BS Show would like to thank their sponsors. Jack Cameron, accredited mortgage professional. Jack can show you the way home. Graco Impact Sports, providing top quality combat sport equipment tested and used by all levels of athletes. Dominate your world. Reposales.ca, specializing in vehicle and equipment recovery, liquidation, and sales. Hemmings House Pictures, the global movement media makers, helping tell your brand story to the world and accelerate the momentum of your movement. Farm Box Films, capturing stories the way you want to remember them.
Greetings, fellow humans. Welcome to the BS Show, the one, the only podcast in Atlantic Canada dedicated to martial arts and combat sports. Mr. Rick Trash Canyon Doyle, how the hell are you?
Not too bad, buddy. Kind of a rainy, crappy night tonight, and I'm not feeling 100%, but I'm sure we're going to get through this all right. How's progress there on the new BS Show logo? Any progress on that?
Mr. Martin texted me real earlier this afternoon. I think that guy is so incredibly busy right now that it's going to be a little while, but I don't have a problem with that. I think we're just going to run the way that we're going from now into summer. In summer, we'll probably take a little hiatus, take a break, regroup, see what was working for us, what we can improve on, and then rebrand and come back maybe in September.
Well,
that's sort of the plan we got right now.
That's a good idea because I talked to a few people on the weekend, and they love the show, but they think the logo looks stupid. So, of course, I blame that all on you. And you can make some improvements.
I'm sure Martin's
going to
take care of us.
Right.
Listen,
on.
Speaking about your weekend, last week we had Wade Graves on the show, sponsor of the show, reposales.ca, a good friend of ours who was going to go compete in the Canadian National Arm Wrestling Championship. How did things go?
Well, it was Nova Scotia was wearing blue shirts over there, and it was a sea of blue on the podium. It was unbelievable. It was a wonderful experience for me, to be honest. I had never gone to a national competition like that. I went as a spectator and of course, knowing a few of the guys as well and gals, and it was quite an event. Like, these guys and gals take this stuff very, very seriously. And it was really interesting to sit down and talk with them. And, you know, they've had all age groups there. You know, I don't know how youngest were the kids were, but, you know, they had the kids division, you know, right up to the masters. And they had another division past that, which is actually grandmasters. And these folks take this sport very, very serious, and they train very hard in it. And I have the utmost respect for all of them. And, you know, I haven't got all the results back yet, what the final results were. But I know Nova Scotia did extremely well, and I think they won the trophy for the most points for a team. So just overwhelming, and it's exciting stuff to watch, folks. It really is. They work really hard. Another thing I'll mention, Boyd, is that I had a lot of conversations with these guys, and this is normally thought of as kind of an old-school sport, but it's really evolving. And, you know, these guys were doing weight cuts and, you know, talking about their supplements that they're taking, their training programs. And these folks work very hard at this sport like everybody does. It's no joke. And, you know, the weight cutting is a fairly new concept to them in their sport. So it was really interesting to sit down and talk with some of them about how they go about that and you know, their success or failures with it. But
very cool. If we have enough people tune in on this tonight, maybe we'll be able to do a little bit of additional coverage when those guys go to the Worlds or when the Canadian Nationals comes around again, because it seems like it's pretty interesting stuff. How did Wade do himself?
Well, our boy did really, really well on his right arm, and I can't remember the weight categories that he competed in right off the top of my head. I apologize. But on his right arm, he claimed the silver medal, and with his left arm, he is now the Canadian champion in his weight division. So he got the gold on that, and And, you know, I was elated. It was fantastic to see, and kudos to our buddy Wade and the rest of the team there. And they've got, I mean, these guys have legit world-class arm wrestlers. Why they're coming out of Nova Scotia, once again, I scratch my head, but it's true. They're coming out, and, like, there's
it's
one
a, you
guy
know what
there.
It is. You know what it is? It's generations of pulling all those lobster pots.
Yeah, no question. And there were a lot of fishermen there, too. But, you know, it was a really exciting event, and I hope in the future that I can get some the results to post up on the national results, everybody's
final
you know, placings.
I popped over to their webpage just before we went live, Rick, and I didn't see the results for 2014 up there, but I did link to it on our Facebook page. So anybody listening, if you want to pop over to the BS Show Canada Facebook page, you'll find a link there, and I'm sure they'll have the results posted there for 2014 any day now. So,
and another thing, Boyd, I spoke with one of the gentlemen that's, you know, basically in charge of the arm wrestling in Nova Scotia, or heavily involved anyway, Rick Pinkney, and I was telling him that that how impressed I was with the overall event and everything, and that people really don't know a lot about the arm wrestling in Nova Scotia, and it's something that I will discuss down the road. But these folks get together in Sackville on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and everybody is welcome. It's at the what is it, Sackville Sportsplex there, Boyd?
Oh, cool.
But anyway, I'll get more information on this. But they get together there twice a week, and it's open to anybody. And I've run into a lot of people lately that really are interested in it but didn't know it actually went on in an organized fashion. So we'll get that word out there, and if people want to drop in and give it a try and have some fun with it, they're more than welcome. New people are always welcome. So we'll follow up
on
that
later.
That's
absolutely fantastic, man. Mm-hmm. That's very, very, very cool. Now, I know we're going to get into this much later in the show, but you had a fantastic opportunity when you were over on Prince Edward Island. You got to drop by Wolf Run and talk to the head instructor there, Paul Abel, as well as our latest Maritimer drafted into, well, transplanted Maritimer drafted into the UFC, Jason Sago.
Oh, yeah. And I told him, I said, you're ours now. I don't care where you came from. You've been here long enough. You are now Atlanta Canadian. You're one of our boys now. There's no getting out of it. But, yeah, we can talk about that later. And, by the way, it's Professor Abel.
You
know.
Oh, right, yes.
And
yep,
we can talk
absolutely
about this later. But what a great facility they've got over there. Top-notch. Great people, and I can't wait to tell you a little bit about what their future plans are over there, because this is something we have not seen yet in Atlanta, Canada, and I'm really excited to talk about it. We're going to have these folks here, I mean, sometime in the future here right away, aren't we, anyway?
Well, listen, you told me a little bit about what they have planned, and I'm dying to get Jason and Professor Abel on here and learn a little bit more about it, because it sounds absolutely fantastic and innovative, especially for this region. We should plan a trip over there some point this summer, maybe see if a bunch of Professor Martel's guys from Titans and its affiliated clubs want to maybe invade Wolf Run for a weekend or something. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah, and I know that Mike Malott, he's got his big fight coming up in a couple of weeks here, and less than that, actually, I think. And I know that he went over and did a little training over there last week. And like I say, we'll do a lot more discussion on this because they've got some exciting stuff on the go over there.
Dude, I went to what was my first full open role in jiu-jitsu. Yesterday out at Titans. I feel like I was pulled through a knothole backwards today. But at the end of class, they brought in, like, probably 10 of the biggest killers that Titans has ever produced, and they shark-baited Mike Malott, wrestling and jiu-jitsu, for 15 minutes without a break, 90-second rounds. It was horrific, and that kid did awesome. I am so stoked to see his fight with Karkula coming up in a couple of weeks.
It's almost amazing. I know that we're over the hill now, but I think at my best of times, I couldn't even come close to what that guy can do cardio-wise. He does not tire. It's almost amazing to watch.
Yeah, he doesn't tire and he doesn't quit. It's it's an awesome combination. Okay,
yeah.
Well, let's break the ship here and bring in our first guest. I was a little bit apprehensive about getting our first guest on because we haven't had really many amateur athletes on before, but I just could not pass up this opportunity when we said we were going to do a show primarily about boxing, because this individual is a two-time national Canadian champion, a world amateur champion after training less than 3 years in boxing. And she's the pride of Spryfield Till I Die Field, Bianca Paquin. Are you in the wings, Bianca?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi,
awesome. Thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me.
I was terrified for a moment that you'd gotten lost somewhere between my place and your place and the wonderful place that we live in here in Spryfield. Listen, our audience probably doesn't know a whole lot about you, even though Rick and I have had an opportunity to follow your career over the past 2 or 3 years. Tell us how old you are and a little bit about the boxing competitions that you've competed in and the belts that you've won in the past couple of years.
Oh, well, I'm 16 years old, and I've been to the Nationals 2 times and the World Championships 2 times. And I've won 2 national championships starting when I was 14, and I won a World Championship when I was 14. Then a year later, I went back to the World Championships, and I lost by 1 point to the U.S. Olympic gold medalist. Or junior Olympic gold medalist, I mean. And then I won another national championship just back in November.
So it sounds to me by that math that you will be going to the Worlds again sometime soon. Is that right?
I don't know, because there was a different World Championships that I was supposed to go to this year. But Boxing Canada didn't want to send any girls this year, which was really stupid, in my opinion. But the World Championships that we had been going to, I don't think anybody from Nova Scotia is going this year. So,
can I jump in here for a sec? Can you turn your computer down in the background, Bianca? I think we're getting a lot of feedback coming through.
I don't have a computer on around me.
All right, we've got a little loop or something going on here.
Yeah, Skippy noticed a little bit of feedback earlier in the podcast, Rick.
Oh.
So Skippy, our producer, will look into that while we're talking.
All right, my apologies.
So, Bianca, if that World Championship is not taking place, what's going to be next for you coming up?
Well, in 2 weeks, I'm fighting in Toronto at the Toronto Convention Center. The 2 days after Mike Malott fights up there, I'm fighting 2 days in a row, and then 2 weeks after that, I'm fighting at the Halifax Forum on Kelsey Frazier's show. And after
busy
that,
girl.
I think I might have a tournament in Europe this summer.
So I know the last time when you went to the Worlds, you did a fundraising thing online. I think it was through Pursue It. Will you be doing something like that coming up if you go to Europe, or are you doing that for your competitions in Toronto?
Nothing like Pursue It. I was thankful enough to have Jerome Wilson. He paid for most of my ticket to Toronto this time. And, yeah, we've been fundraising with, grocery bagging and stuff like that.
Well, listen, if you're going to do anything online and we can use the Madhouse guys to get the word out across Canada and even throughout the U.S. and internationally, absolutely let us know, because we will pump that out there and see if we can't get you some funds that way as well.
Thank you.
We get a lot of people interested in MMA, but I think amateur boxing is something that holds a special place in a lot of people's hearts in combat sports. So if you have anything that we can help out with there, give us a call for sure.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Let's back it up a little bit.
Yeah, okay, sorry, Boyd, I thought you were
done.
Want
to go ahead, Rick?
Well, no, if you
let me ask one more question, and then you can jump in. You said you won the Canadian National Championship when you were 14. Didn't you tell me one time that you didn't start boxing until you were 12 or 13?
13 years old. I won my first national championship 1 year after I started boxing.
So how did you end up training boxing? Like, were you just kind of like hovering around in the background with all of this talent and passion and waiting to jump into a gym, or did you stumble on boxing completely by accident?
Oh, well, back in the 90s, my sister had been going to Citadel Boxing Club, and my dad had always hit the bag and stuff, and when I was a kid, my parents always had me, like, on pads and stuff like that, but I basically forgot about that for years. I was in soccer for 8 years, and then, I don't know, I was a pretty fat kid growing up. I'm under 5 feet tall, and I was, like, 150, 60 pounds. So I went down to Palooka's Boxing Club just to get in shape and stuff, and then I started sparring a few months into it, and then Tyson asked me one day, do you want to fight this week? And I was like, okay.
Yeah, I'm thinking that's not typical of most 13-year-old girls that walk into a gym looking to get in shape. So obviously you had something special going on there. When you said it was the sparring that sort of pulled you into the boxing, right? Because a lot of people, they can go in and hit bags and they can learn combinations and they can call themselves boxers or fighters, but the first time that they get hit, game over. They're out of the sport. They want no part of it. Tell us about the first time that you started sparring and how you felt about it.
Well, I think the first person I sparred with was Laura McPhee, and I remember it was so scary. She punched me in the face. She wasn't, like, trying to kill me or anything, but it was my first time, so I was scared. And then I acted all tough when I was in the ring, but I really did cry afterwards, honestly. But I did go back the next day, and I sparred with another guy from down at Palooka's. And then I got over it, and I started having fun.
Jump on in, Rick.
Oh, I'd love to. And don't worry about the crying, dear. Don't worry. Boyd does it all the time, so that's nothing to be ashamed of. But listen, Bianca, the first thing I want to say here, because I don't think the folks are really going to get this or understand this right off the bat, how impressive you are. I remember when, Boyd, you remember this too, we walked into the star cubicle of the cage, and Bianca would be in that ring. And I remember looking at this young girl in absolute amazement with the speed and technique that this girl had. It's just uncanny. And you would have been probably, what, 14 at that time, Bianca, maybe?
The skill, 14 when cubicle of the cage.
Yeah, the skill and the dedication that you put to this sport and you know, of all the things that you could be doing out there that a typical girl your age is out doing, and you're in a gym pounding it and training, and a lot of times the only female in there, in the boxing at the gym, it's an absolute inspiration. I think you're a true role model for girls your age, and I know I speak for everybody when I say how proud we are of you in this province and right across the country for that matter. So I can't take my hat off enough to you and everything you do. Now, I have a question for you because I just caught this when you were talking. What was the competition that you wanted to go to this year and there was no one being sent? What was that competition?
It was the Youth World Championships, and it was the Junior Olympics qualifier, and Boxing Canada sent all the three boys over, but they wouldn't send any girls because they said we weren't qualified enough or something like that. And they didn't even, I don't know, it was just a really stupid situation. They didn't even, like, know about me or any of my fights, and they just assumed that I was unqualified because I was a girl.
Okay, so let me just back this up just one second. So when did this competition happen?
Mid-April, I'm pretty sure. It was in Bulgaria.
And the three boys that were sent, where were they sent from?
They were sent from Quebec and Ontario.
Okay. And so they went from there. So Canada sent three boys to this competition, and then your manager, your coach, or your parents contacted, what is it, the Canadian Boxing Federation? Is that who it is?
Sure. Boxing Canada, yeah.
Boxing Canada, and said, we've got a girl here who is the Canadian champion, and she'd like to go to that competition, and you were told no?
Yeah, I was, like, on the site. They put up a national team, and I was on it, along with all the other national champions. I got the award for best female boxer from Boxing Canada, but they still wouldn't send me away. So.
Is that right? Well,
yeah.
All I can say is shame on them. Shame on them, because you damn well deserve to go to that competition. I wish that we would have known about that before that went down. If anything ever happens to you like that again, you contact Boyd and myself right away, because shame on those people, okay? You train very, very hard. You're a Canadian champion. You will be in the Olympics. There is no doubt in my mind. And I want them to remember the day that they did not send you to that competition when that happened. I'm sorry,
yeah,
dear, that happened.
That's a Sorry, go ahead, Bianca.
Oh, no. I don't know. You just got to get over it, because boxing, there's a lot of politics in boxing.
There's a lot of politics with commissions and when, especially all the organizations that there are in boxing, and the athletes are very much at their mercy, and all the athletes can really do is train and hope there are people out there who can advocate on their behalf to get them the opportunities that they need. And I'm sure we're going to hear about that in spades from somebody that you've trained with for quite a while, Tyson, a little bit later in the show. But, Rick, that was a perfect segue when you brought up about the Olympics, because I'm going to air some of that creeping around Facebook and Twitter this week. And I saw a comment on your Twitter page that I found really interesting. And it was, you said, you cry every time you see an athlete from any sport win a gold medal. Do you remember when you wrote that?
Yeah, I get emotional.
I don't know, really interesting.
I'm a sucker for people achieving their dreams and stuff like that.
You know what? We are as well, which is one of the reasons I think people are drawn to you when they see what you've done so far in the sport of boxing and what your goals are. Tell me a little bit about your dreams for going to something like the Olympics. Is that something that's really on your radar and it's something that drives you daily, or is boxing really just a hobby that they're toying with?
Well, it's definitely, like, down the road if I could get there, but with boxing, you really got to focus on what's going on right now, and the Olympics wouldn't be really realistic until 2020, because in the next Olympics, I'll only be my first year senior, and I'll be new starting out, but it's definitely, like, something to think about.
So all the competitions that you mentioned earlier that you have coming up in the next month, those are, like, stepping stones or stay busies or things that put you on the radar for things like Boxing Canada to be ready sort of when that time comes? Is that how it works?
Well, they're just like little local cards, but I'm hoping the ones in Ontario will get me a little bit of recognition up there where Boxing Canada is in Ontario, you know, like prove myself a little bit. If I can beat all their girls, they might as well send me away.
Yeah, don't give them an option. You beat everybody else that they would send away, and then they're going to have to send you, even if you're not from Ontario or Quebec.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to ask you one more thing before I throw you back to Rick for another question before we get you out of here, and that is, who has the biggest shoe fetish, you or Gavin Tucker?
Me, definitely me.
You know what? I might have to put a Tucker versus Paclin shoe off here, because that man, every time he leaves his house, I swear, comes home with another pair of boots. And every time I go scroll through your Twitter page, there's another pair of kicks.
No, like, I'm actually disgusting. Like, my parents will send me away with money to go on a trip, and they'll send me away with food money. And then I'll go down there, and I'll blow all my food money on shoes, and then I'll be bumming food off everybody else for the rest of the week. Like, I ruined my life with my shoe fetish. You don't even know.
Well, this is a prime example of how, of all the things that you do in your sporting world and everything that you've accomplished, you really are a very, very normal kid who I will also say, has probably the driest sense of humor of any 16-year-old I've ever met. And it's
Thank
an absolute,
you.
It's an absolute pleasure. It's an absolute pleasure to have had an opportunity to spend some time in the gym training near you. And here's a little treat. Do you remember the time that you and I sparred down at Kemp Road?
Yeah, I was hoping that would get onto the show.
Yeah, so did I. So did I. I pushed for it, and it didn't happen. But I spoke to the producers of Cubicle to the Cage just a couple of days ago, and they're currently out of town. But as soon as they get back, they're going to cut out and edit together that footage, and we're going to post it on the BS Show Facebook page so you can share it around and everyone can see it. Because, yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's not a whole lot of times that 40-year-old men pick fights with 16-year-old girls, or I guess 14 or 15-year-old girls at that point.
Yeah, 14 at that time.
But when they do, I hope it always goes down the way our sparring match went down, because I'm never going to forget that. You want to jump in with one more, Rick?
Yeah, I do. I mean, the list of people that have kicked your ass is long and distinguished, Boyd, so I'm glad Bianca's name is on there. Bianca, I just, before we let you go, I know you're just young now and you've got a bright future ahead of you, but what is the goal for boxing? Do you think there may be a pro career down the road for you, or is this something you want to follow just through the amateur ranks and maybe go to the Olympics, or tell us what your dreams are.
Well, if I'm not close to making it to the Olympics in like 2018 or something, I'll like probably take a few years off, go to school and stuff, and then maybe later on I might try a little bit of a pro career.
Well, that's great. I said it earlier, but I think you're a true role model for young people, and keep up the good work. Your dedication and commitment to what you're doing is an inspiration to a lot of people, so keep up the good work.
Oh, thank you.
And tell us,
thank
if
you, so
you ever run into a situation like that again, you let us know, all right?
Okay, I will.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks so much for joining us, Bianca. I'll be sure to tag you and let you know when Andrew and those guys have that sparring footage for us to put online.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Have a great evening.
You too. See ya.
I only got through about half of the questions I had for her, seriously.
Really?
What an absolutely fantastic role model, Rick, not for kids, but for anybody. Like, just absolutely for anybody. She is the most normal, down-to-earth person you could ever meet, and she trains like a savage when she gets in the gym.
Yeah, that was an interesting conversation to listen to, and I noticed she mentioned Jerome Wilson helped her out. Kudos, Jerome. We've had Jerome on here before. There's another perfect example, folks, how he has jumped out and helped somebody, an amateur that really wanted to go to a competition, and he recognized the fact of her commitment level. So hats off to him again right there.
Absolutely.
This whole world thing is really not sitting well with me right now, but that's something we'll probably talk about at another point.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have to do some research on that and find out exactly why that happened. I mean, who knows? Maybe they had some kind of a legitimate reason that's not out in the public. But, I mean, a kid who's been the Canadian national champion twice, who was the world champion 2 years ago, finished 1 point behind an Olympian, for God's sake, a junior Olympian. For them to say that she's not qualified to go to Bulgaria and represent Canada is ludicrous.
Yeah.
So, we're going to have to dig in and find out exactly what that was all about.
You know it.
I didn't get a chance to ask her about the Muppets. Oh, God.
What?
Apparently she's completely obsessed with the Muppets. She's obsessed with the Muppets. I mean, she's 16 years old. I didn't realize kids even watch the Muppets anymore. This is the thing. See, she's a very interesting person.
I'm
trying to have her back on
again. Professional questions here about her boxing career and her skills and her fundamentals, and you're talking about Muppets and sneakers. Will you stop this?
Listen, you can ask all the questions you want. I want to find out about these people and not just the bullshit questions that they'd ask them if they were on the fucking 9 o'clock news. Okay? Right. I want to actually talk to them like they're human beings.
All right.
So, anyway, the Muppets rock. Thank you, Bianca, for reminding me of that. Okay, I want to bring in our next guest. We're going back to the island. We were talking a little bit earlier about Rick going over to PEI for the National Arm Wrestling Competition. We're also talking about Professor Paul Abel and the guys at Wolf Run over there. And we also, exciting news, have a new gym just opened by MMA stalwart in Atlantic Canada and boxing title holder, I was corrected this afternoon, in PEI, Mr. Richard Arsenal. How are you doing this evening?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Hello.
I heard you're sick.
Oh, yeah. I'm not feeling too good, but coming around there.
Well, thanks for joining us, Richard. I saw it came out on social media today. You were even having to cancel teaching your classes and whatnot. I was afraid we were going to lose you, but I appreciate you coming on with us for a little bit because you're somebody who's had an awful lot of experience in combat sports in Atlantic Canada, and I think no description or discussion of combat sports, especially where PEI is concerned, would be complete unless you were put in the mix. So thanks for joining us tonight.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that.
So we have listeners, obviously, throughout the Maritimes, all across Canada and internationally. So I'd like to give people a bit of an idea of sort of who we're talking to here. So can you give us a little rundown of your boxing accomplishments and your MMA accomplishments over the past 5-6 years since you've been fighting professionally?
First of all, I apologize. I can't stop coughing. First things first is I started out in mixed martial arts, and when I was training in there, I was I always wanted to fight, but I never really thought it would go anywhere. You know, I just thought maybe if I would get a fight here and there, it would be great. But then once I had my first one, I was completely and utterly hooked. Couldn't help it after that, you know. So I got my first fight on King of the Cage, and Rory McDonald and TJ Grant were all fighting on that card at that time. Rory was the main event that night, and I was an undercard, and it was a great show, and Rory put on a great fight that night. TJ dominated his match. So it was a great night. Anyway, from there on, I just took off and I started fighting ever since. And I just fell in love with MMA very much. So I just trained as much as I possibly could, fought as much as I could. What's that?
And you've won a number of titles in both MMA and boxing, correct?
Yeah. Well, I think about 2 years ago, I started into, I always boxed. It just, I never actually fought in boxing. And then I got the opportunity one time because I wanted to fight in between my MMA fights. It was just wasn't enough. I just wanted to fight all the time, right? So so I picked up some boxing, and I got a chance to fight a guy that was a great challenge for me. And so I took the challenge, and I won, but it was a great fight. And then I just took off after that. I ended up getting a couple boxing titles after that. So I like it.
Well, let's
like
back
it,
it up
it
a little bit. Because in the MMA world, at one point you were the 170 Elite One title holder, correct?
Yeah. I held Elite One for almost 5 years.
Well, let's back it up a lot and talk a little bit about how you got into the sport in the first place, because I've heard you talk before about the fact that you had quite a troubled, say, teenage years and even leading into your 20s. You were a guy who was kind of lost, had a lot of trouble with the law, didn't really know what he was doing with his life, and then things kind of turned around for you. Can you walk us through a little bit of that so we kind of understand sort of like where you came from and where you've gotten to now?
Well, I'm not going to tell you absolutely everything, but that is exactly it, you know. Like, my whole entire life I was just completely lost, and I couldn't hold down a 9-to-5 job more than 3 or 4 months. I just, I don't know, I was just, I was very athletic when I was a kid, so I loved to play sports, and I was good at everything. So I loved, so when I got into mixed martial arts, I fell in love with the one-on-one competition, because now it was me against him. I don't have to depend on anybody else, it's me against him now, you know, I don't have to worry about anybody else. So anyway,
Who was it you connected with then that sort of got you in and started training you and sort of finding that passion in you?
Well, I was funny thing is I was actually doing a little bit of time for problems that I had, and while I was doing that time, I hooked up with a fella from Toronto, and I started doing some kickboxing, and then right after that, I hooked up a fellow from Montreal. I used to watch him all the time train, and he was doing BJJ, Jiu-Jitsu, and I watched him all the time, and I always wanted to check it out. So my very first time I went with him, I fell in love with it. So I just trained with him ever since. And then for like 4 or 5 years, even when I got out, I trained with him in Montreal and everything. So I trained as much as I could with him. So...
So fighting really sort of became the thing that centered you and gave you a purpose.
Oh, completely. It just, my whole life was just, I didn't know where, and I didn't know where I was going to go in life or nothing. I didn't really care about society or nobody, because I didn't feel like, I didn't have a purpose, right? You know, so I really didn't care about anything. So get drunk and fight and do stupid stuff and do whatever I could just because I just didn't care about life, right? But once I got into MMA, I'm telling you, my whole life flipped around. It actually gave me a purpose to, you know, to do something, and gave me some drive to go forward, you know? So I wouldn't be where I am without my trainer and my love for the sport right now. So,
well, before I throw it over to Rick, I want to ask you one more question. Rick and I have had an opportunity to kind of throw ourselves into an MMA team. You know, granted, we were already in our 40s, and it was something we did as an experiment more than as a lifestyle choice. But we got to understand what it means to be part of a combat sports or a martial arts team. And, man, that is an incredibly powerful feeling to train and to bleed and to fight and cut weight and to go through all of that with a group of guys and girls. It is really a special thing that I think people who don't compete in high-level combat sports can really understand and appreciate. Did you get that feeling when you got involved with training martial arts as well?
Oh, yeah, by far. I watched your guys' show there when you first started there, when you were interested and all that. I thought that was awesome. Because everybody gets to see fights and they get to see this and that, but they don't actually get to see the background and how hard the dedication and training comes with it, right? You know, your fight is, people always say your fight is won in the gym. It really is, you know, your fight is won in the gym. You know, if you train as hard as you possibly do and then you go into that gym or into that fight and dedicate yourself to what you did in your training, you will come out a winner for sure. But you guys did awesome. That was awesome. I like that.
Thanks a lot, man. Really appreciate that. You reached out to me actually first when it started airing, and I was just so impressed, because at that point we were really thinking the general public would like Cubicle to the Cage perhaps, but pro fighters may hate it and think that we were making a mockery of it and making fun of it and not really show what it was like, when it was very important to us that we did show what it was like to become a fighter and everything that it took. So when you reached out to me that time, I was just so happy and so impressed that you did that. So I thank you for that. Rick, do you want to jump in again before
sure.
I have a couple more questions for Richard?
I absolutely would. Richard, thank you very much for coming on the show. It's
for
a
sure.
pleasure to have you on here. It really is. And I heard that, I believe it was your last fight against Ricky Goodall was a barn burner. I unfortunately missed that, But I remember the calculator was texting me nonstop saying, you will not believe this. So I guess I missed a good one. But anyway, Richard, I mean, your story is inspiring, and I think that, you know, this is the beauty of mixed martial arts. I've said this over and over again. You know, it takes people from a certain point in their life and completely transforms them, and it gives a lot of people that center and that home. And you know what? I can relate to that. I really can. You know, I'm a guy that, you know, my whole life kind of walked around with a chip on my shoulder and wasn't really sure why. And, you know, it was down home, it was drinking and fighting and for no actual reason. And, you know, and then you find that thing, you find that one thing that turns you around. And time again, it seems to be mixed martial arts. And so your story is really inspiring. And I know there are a lot of fighters out there that can relate to that story, that it is the salvation of their life. And it does. It does change them. Now, one thing you did also mention there, and I picked right up on that, probably initially when you walked into the gym, it was you versus somebody else. But what I found, it evolves to you versus yourself, and that's where the real challenge comes from.
Yeah, could be, for sure.
You know, how far can you push yourself and how much can you better yourself? I mean, the fight at the end of the day, you mentioned, you know, is in the cage, but the real fight's in the gym, and how hard can you push it? And that's the beauty of it. It gives that one little thing that somebody needs in their life to focus them, and it's fantastic. So were you on the island, living on the island, when you decided to make the move into mixed martial arts and actually become a competitor?
I was actually training at that time when I decided to start fighting. I was training with Manny Buano in Charlottetown with Muay Thai. Mm-hmm. I already put in probably about 4 or 5 years jiu-jitsu, and then I was just trying to level up my stand-up there a little bit. So I went with a Muay Thai instructor in Charlottetown. He got me my first fight, so I just took off from there. I really enjoyed it. I thought I was going to be a stand-up fighter. Then once the fight happened, everything just, you know, it just ended up turning out to be my first four or five wins was with a submission. So it was a little bit different than what I was expecting. But now I'm always fighting on my feet, and my ground level has been down for the last couple of years. So I'm trying to build back up my ground. And, you know, it's MMA is a mix of everything. So it's crazy to just think that you're going to come in and do one or two things. You know, it's a mix of everything. So you take the best of every sport you possibly can, like for fighting wise, and you create your own style. And I love my movement style fighting. You know, I don't like to slug out and try to at least I can try to slug, and I prefer to move, hit, instead of taking punch for punch, you know. Mm-hmm. Sort of almost hockey style, you know. In hockey style, you take, you know, you just let it go, right?
Yeah.
But not really my thing.
So was it difficult? Did you find it quite difficult when you were just starting out your training to get the trainers that you needed, to get the training partners that you needed? You know, that would have been a few years ago now, and it's a very small city, and MMA is just really picking up over in that province. Was it difficult for you?
Oh, it was always hard for me. Because there was never a direct gym. Now there is. There's Paul Abel in Charlottetown, which is a great instructor, great trainer. You know, I think he's doing great things down there. You know, so that's awesome. But myself, I didn't have that option. You know, when I first went down with Paul Abel and them, I wasn't getting home till 12:30 at night or 12:30 in the morning. So I lived 2 hours away. So it was becoming a big issue with me. Get up early in the morning, be cranky for work or whatever, you know. So I stopped going. And that sort of separated me from Paul's team. And their guys over there. So that's what happened with me and McGrath, why we ended up fighting later on. We didn't stay on the same training, right? So I went my own way. But the thing is, we don't have, from Summerside right to Tignish, if anybody knows where that's at, we don't have training gyms. We don't have MMA gyms or boxing gyms or nothing like that. So this is the reason why I opened up a gym, to let people come in and do some training and try to create a few new fighters that are, you know, going the wrong way, you know, like I was, you know, so that's great. And even if they were going the wrong way, then just come in and train and get in great shape and learn something or whatever, right? So...
So this is a new gym that you just have opened, or it has been running?
No, I just opened it about 2 weeks ago. Just from Charlottetown right to Tignish, there's really no MMA or boxing going on. So I figured I've been waiting a long time for somebody to open up one, and nobody did. So I finally said, okay, I'm going to slow down on my fighting a little bit and open something so the guys that are down on this side of the island get an opportunity to try to fight, because you got a lot of tough guys that want to fight, but they don't have the opportunity, right? So,
well, kudos to you for that, and you know, there's no doubt in my mind that you're going to find that one person out there that was floating around like you were. And
I already did, buddy.
And I mean, that is the ultimate thing that you can give back to a sport that's given you so much. So.
For sure.
That must be an awesome feeling for you.
Oh, it is. It, for sure it is. I found that guy, you know. I'm just waiting to let him loose now.
Good.
He's been with me for about 6 years, just on and off, you know. Anytime I was home, he just hasn't had the opportunity to open up yet. And he's going to get his first opportunity here on the ECC card, the Titans card there soon, so you be watching
right?
Out for
well,
me.
Give us a name. Give us a name here.
He's fighting on the 21st.
Yeah, he's fighting on that card.
Well, give us a name.
Awesome.
Here. We're
we'll have a little we'll sit down with you guys.
His name's Chase Ludi. Yeah, you don't want to miss this. I'm telling you right now, you don't want to miss this fight. It's gonna. Yeah, I'm really hoping Buddy's prepared for this fight, because Chase is coming all out.
Awesome. Well, we'll
fantastic.
Keep our
and listen, man. Sorry. Go ahead, Rick.
No, I said we'll have to keep our eyes open for this fella.
For sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Now we've got something specific to get excited about for this card coming up on June 21st. Richard, I'm glad that you found somebody that you can really throw your efforts into right off the bat, and I'm sure it won't be the last, because like you said, there isn't a lot of MMA or boxing training around that area. And as, like you said, you didn't want to get into the details of it, but when you find something that you're passionate about, whether it's boxing, whether it's mixed martial arts, and you are able to throw yourself in it, and you have somebody like yourself who's going to be able to mentor those guys, and you've been there, and you've done it, and you know what it's like to come out the other end and to find a positive force in your life, it's going to be fantastic to see what you're able to do with that gym over the next 2, 5, 10 years, and we wish you all the best, man.
Awesome, buddy. Appreciate that. I'm pretty excited myself. I can't wait. It'd be nice to get a few more fighters coming from this end of the island.
Fantastic. Well, give a quick shout-out. Let people know where they can find you, what you have to offer. And
well, right now we're
trying to get some more bodies in there.
Oh, for sure. Summerside and Traveler's Rest, Island Impact. Anybody looking to trade, everybody's welcome. Even if you come from another gym, you're welcome. I just want to everybody to be able to learn as much as they possibly can and advance themselves as much as they possibly can, and see how great they can actually be, right? So thanks for having me. Appreciate
awesome,
it very bro. Much.
Well, we'll see you and your guys over here now in June.
Awesome. They'll be there. All right, buddy. You take care.
Awesome.
Thank
you. Feel better. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, bud.
Great
and
interview,
Lloyd. It continues
Lloyd.
To grow, Rick.
What?
I said it continues to grow.
Oh, that was a great interview, man. You know, inspiring story for sure. You know? And,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, you and I have talked about this before. I mean, not only the interesting people, but the people of such diverse backgrounds that we've discovered through our involvement in combat sports. is just, it's amazing. I mean, people come from such diverse backgrounds, but they all seem to find that same passion and that same drive, and it's such a positive force in their lives when they start challenging themselves that way.
It sure is. It goes back to, man, they got to get this stuff in schools. But anyway, we'll leave that for another night.
Yeah, that's another night. Okay, well, we got another guest in line now that we knew we were going to have on the show the first time that we ever said that we were going to do a combat sports podcast. Perhaps one of the more celebrated boxers in Nova Scotia history, holder of three titles, the WBC, I believe, Continental Champion, Tyson, the Prince of Halley Cave. How are you doing tonight, champ?
Yo, 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 what's up now? The Prince is here.
Glad you could join us, man. How are you doing?
Oh, great, great. Thanks for having me, guys. Great.
Good. Listen, Tyson, I don't know if you were able to tune in at the beginning, and we had a great chat with Bianca Paquin, who's somebody I know you've trained for probably since the very beginning of her career. And we had an awesome chat with her, and it was interesting to hear somebody at the very, very, very beginning of her career when, man, that was you, like what, like 10-plus years ago. What's it like for you working with Bianca and seeing her where she is in her career right now?
It's like a great experience. I mean, like seeing someone grow like you did and stuff, you know what I mean? Like she's one of the best fighters in the world, female. Like, honestly, I could put her in the ring right now with the world champion, and I guarantee she would win. Like, guaranteed. She's amazing. She's a phenom. It's crazy.
Well, let's talk about you for a second. How did you find yourself, first of all, in the amateur boxing ranks? Was this something that was sort of everybody in your family boxed, or was this something just a Tyson thing? What drew you into boxing originally?
I just liked the fighting. I just walked in a gym one time, you know what I mean, like 17 years ago, Fairview Amateur Boxing Club. It's just a little club. I ended up being, you know, really good at it, and it just went from there, you know. It's something that I love to do. As soon as I did it, I knew that, you know, I wanted to be world champion, and I wanted to be recognized as, you know, one of the best fighters to ever come out of this province, and, you know, I did it, so.
Well, listen, very quickly started competing and winning titles provincially, and then went on nationally. And sort of when you were going up through the ranks of the amateur, did you know you were going to turn pro? Was that something you were definitely going to do?
Oh, hell yeah, hell yeah. Like, I knew that I definitely was going to be, you know, a better professional than amateur. But as an amateur, I was one of the most accomplished to ever come out of Canada. I always won, you know, I mean, medals. I've won a lot. I just knew. I knew what I wanted to be. I knew what I wanted to do. You know, I'm living my dream right now.
What was your amateur record before you turned pro, Tyson?
160 wins with 16 losses.
And then you turned pro, and you've been slowly working your way up the ranks over quite a long period of time. How old are you right now?
I'm 32 right now.
You're 32, and your only two losses as a professional are against guys who then went on to fight for the world title. Is that right?
Well, yeah, you know, like my Willie Casey fight in Toronto there, I wasn't really serious. It was an eye-opener for me. I thought I was invincible. I didn't train for it, you know what I mean? I took it as a joke. And then from there, I went and fought AJ Bernal in the Philippines. And I don't consider that I lost, because everyone knows who watched that fight that I was ripped off. But, you know, you take it as you take it in stride, and everybody knows. Right now, I'm the most avoided super bantamweight in the world right now. And, you know, nobody wants to fight because they don't.
We're going to get into that. We're going to get into that in a little bit. But I do want to back it up to the Bernal fight, because I was following that fight really closely when it happened. And I know it was stopped in the eighth because of a head cut. Bernal got cut when you guys collided heads coming in. And I, to be honest, had you ahead at that point in that fight.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, when you go into someone else's backyard in someone else's country, they were grooming him just like people, my dad and stuff, were grooming me to be a world champion. You know, it's hard to win, but we took the chance and we went and did it. And you know, sometimes taking a loss is better than even winning the fight. And people know right from there that I was on the scene. And you know, I scared a lot of people off because of that, because no one gave me a chance to even make it through the first three rounds, and then I didn't. So, you know.
Yeah, that's 100% true. I mean, all the hype around that fight, for anybody who was outside of Canada anyway, was that you had no shot. Like, they were saying that they didn't even know why you were fighting this guy. They thought he was just going to walk right through you. And quite frankly, I mean, I just don't think he hit you in that fight. I mean,
no.
I'm not a boxing aficionado, but just as a layman watching the fight, it didn't seem like he was landing any power on you at all.
No, never, never. You know what I mean? One thing about me, if I don't want to get hit, I won't. And, you know, it's all about longevity in this sport. And so, you know, that's what it's about in any sport, MMA,
well,
boxing, whatever.
Combat.
Yeah, yeah, you know what I mean? It's about
Look at Hopkins. What is he, 49?
Yeah, exactly. It's about making it to the next fight, coming out of it, you know, being able to go train, you know, a week later and stuff like that. There's some guys that take a lot of punishment, and they're very exciting fighters, but they never have long, long careers. And, you know, me, I'm about taking the W and moving on to the next opponent.
Yeah, and that's something that you've gotten criticism in the past before, because, like, you just made an awesome comment. You said, if I don't want to get hit, I'm not going to get hit. Because, I mean, I don't think it's a coincidence that your nickname is the Prince of Halley. And tell me, is that taken directly from Prince Nassim Hamed?
I'd say so, yeah. You know, I mean, I love that guy. I love his showmanship. I just love the way that he carried himself. You know what I mean? I knew that I was just like him because, personally, I don't really care what people think of me. You know what I mean? I know that I'm good. I know that I'm one of the best. And if you don't like me, you don't like me. It makes it a lot easier for me. I don't have to walk across the room and shake your hand. But there's one thing people do know about me is that I'm damn good. Straight up, I'm one of the best. One of the best to ever come out of Nova Scotia in combat sports altogether.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
no
you're on your way to trying to prove that you're a lot better than that, even, because I know Rick has a few questions for you, but I want to get through some more questions here. So forgive me if I'm jumping around a little bit. But I definitely want to get all this stuff out there, especially for people who don't know who you are. I mean, if they get a chance to find some of Tyson Cave's fights, if they're online, and to watch his style and to watch what he's able to do, because you can't teach somebody to be a Prince Nassim Hamed. That's not possible. You liked his style, but you also had the innate ability to do what he did. How much did you actually mold your fighting style to match him?
I can't say that I molded it. I can say that, you know what I mean, I liked it, and I want to do some of the things that he done. And, you know what I mean, he done a lot of good things, and I do a lot of good things, but I do a lot of things that are better than he did, you know what I mean, to be personally honest. He got hit more than me, you know, but he was a great champion, and that's what I'm on my way to be, is a great champion. You know, six titles right now, you know, still moving up. One of the only Canadians, you know, that are ranked in the top 10. One of the only Nova Scotians to ever be ranked in the top 10. And, you know, that's what I do.
And what are you ranked right now, Tyson? Is it number 8 right now?
No, I'm number 7 right now, but I'll be going lower. Don't worry, I'll be going lower. Just keep knocking them down. And, you know, the problem with me is that, you know, I love Nova Scotia and I love Halifax so much that if I went to the States, I could probably, you know, be a lot lower. But, you know, I'm one of the only guys to ever do it out of this city and stuff. And I did that to make a point, and, you know, I'm almost there.
Well, I mean, I know your dad feels exactly the same way. I mean, you're noted in the past past year even of holding fights in places like Spryfield and holding fights in places like Africville. And like you said, you're kind of in a point in your career where you could transplant. I mean, you could head down to Boston and train with Mickey and Dickie and those guys and probably
have a
faster track to where you want to go.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I just, you know, I mean, you got to be happy in what you do. you gotta want to be there and stuff. And I love going down to Boston with Mickey and Dickie. Actually, Mickey Ward just showed up to my last fight in Toronto, one of my biggest wins, and supported me. But they also support, you know, my decision to, you know, with staying home and stuff like that. And you gotta be happy. You know, I mean, if you're not happy, then don't do it, you know. And that's with anything. That's with just with life. And I'm happy in Halifax. I'm happy at Titans. You know, I'm happy with my Titans family, the MMA guys, the boxing guys. We're a family there, and that's where I'm happy at. And I'm still winning. So, you know, once I start losing, which probably will never happen, but, you know, then I'll have to make changes.
Yeah, absolutely. I know Rick's got a couple of questions, but I do have one more for you, and that's you just mentioned your last fight in Toronto. I want you to talk a little bit about that fight, and I want you to talk a little bit about the Casey fight that you lost as well, because I think they're two such important fights in your career. The fight that you had in Toronto was another fight where the people who criticize you were saying, when Tyson goes into this fight, it's going to be his third loss. This is the third time that he sort of fought somebody who'd reached that level of competition, and the last two times he did it, he wasn't able to come home with the win. It's going to happen again. But you didn't. You went in there, you fought, and you had to fight a dog fight in the last part of that, the last half of that fight. You had to fight a style that wasn't really your style. I mean, you were just in there throwing down for a lot of the last half of that fight, and you gutted it out and got the win. Did you know that you were going to have to do that down the stretch in that fight?
Kind of. But, like, what people don't know is I can fight. I just choose not to because I don't like to get hit. But when I have to, I can, and I prove that. One of the biggest punches in the sport, in the world, and I, you know what I mean? I backed him up, and I took it to him. I just choose not to because I don't want to get hit. Why get hit if I don't have to? People don't understand that. Why do people want to get hit in any combat sport? So, you know, it's it was no surprise to me. It was a surprise to, like, some people, but, you know, I did what I had to do, and I came out victorious. And, you know, that's what it's about, being victorious.
Rick, do you want to jump in? I got a couple more questions for Tyson, but I don't want to hog the whole damn thing here.
Yeah, I'd love to. Thanks very much for coming on, champ. I appreciate it. And I have to give kudos to you on your last fight. I think that was a legitimate fight. I think it was a legitimate win. And I think that it solidified what you've been saying all along. But what I want to ask you about, Tyson, is this is the BS show, so we're going to cut it right now and we're going to get right to it, because you have as many critics as you have supporters. And a lot of it is the way you live your life, the way you behave, the way you carry yourself, and I want to talk about that, because you've gotten a lot of heat over it in the past, and maybe it's affected your career in some way. That's what I want to talk about. Are you cool with that?
Yeah, definitely.
So you're known, I've heard phrases thrown around, paper champ, showboater, you know, ducking fights. What do you got to say about that? I mean, do you honestly believe that you are the real deal coming out of Nova Scotia right now? You are the man.
The real deal? Here, I'll put it to rest. I'm the best to come out of Nova Scotia. There was a lot of great champions out of every combat fighter in Nova Scotia. I've done more than any of them combined put together. If people want me to say that, then I will say that straight up. I've never ducked anyone. They duck me. They duck me. The only things that I duck is punches.
So what do you say to the people that go and watch you at your fights and you're dancing around and showboating and get upset just thinking that's foolishness? How do you react to that? Because you've caught a lot of flack. I've read it in the papers. I've heard it from the people. I've seen people leave out of the crowd because they were pissed off because you were in their showboat.
Yeah, they're the ones that probably leave because they wanted me to lose, and they can't do what I can do. I do things that people can't do in the ring. You know what I mean? That they can't do, that other fighters wish they could do, that they try to practice. I just do it because I can, on impulse, reaction, just because I want to.
So what do you got to say to the people that, the old school boxing people that believe in the fundamentals and the techniques, and they feel that what you're doing in that ring is disgraceful? What do you have to say about it?
Keep buying tickets and come see me lose, which it'll probably never happen, but, you know, people can have their own opinion about me, and that's, you know, and that's one thing about me is, you know, I mean, I really don't care what people think because I know who I am, I know what I can do, and I represent my city very well.
Now, that's another thing I want to bring up. Do you feel that you represent your city well? Not only represent it, but a role model to the up-and-coming people who are coming through. Because you have received criticism from people that you take your boxing career too lightly and would rather be out doing other stuff or partying or that type of thing. What do you got to say about that?
Well, you know,
do you feel that you're a good role model for boxers coming up in the business right now, that you're somebody they can look to and learn from?
Yeah, I think I am. You know what I mean? Like, I just try to be me, you know what I mean? Be me, and, you know what I mean, keep winning and representing my city, you know what I mean? I don't tell anyone how to live their life, and no one should tell me how to live my life. As long as I keep winning, as long as I keep representing my city to the fullest, which I do, how can you say anything about it? You know what I mean? It is what it is.
So you come by these skills that you have so naturally, and they're so easy for you, that you're able to go out and relax and party, and people seem to get jealous over that, and they try to throw rocks at you all the time. Are you standing here today telling us that you are that good, that you deserve those world title shots, that you don't have to train like other people do because you're that good?
Whoa. I train harder than any other athlete in here. Any other athlete. People in the gym who see me, I train 4 to 5 times a day, and I put everything into it. I go in there, and I train my butthole off, and that's why I'm champ. There's nothing to do with skill. Anybody can have skill. We all hit the bag. We all do our running. But when it comes down to it, it's about being smart, being focused, and being into it. It doesn't matter when I'm off boxing. It matters what I'm doing for them 8 weeks to 12 weeks during, before the fight. And that's why. All these suckers right now are out there fooled. If you think that I'm out there partying when I'm going to fight you, then you're a dumbass. When it comes down to it, I'm focused and I put everything into it, and that's why I win, and that's why I can do what no other fighter in the sport can do, combined.
So Tyson, tell us, where do you go from here? What are you going to do now? You won this big fight. What's next? Is the big fight next?
Well, hopefully if they want to fight me, you know what I mean? I can't make someone fight me. All I can do is keep winning, get to the number one spot, go to my city, which I've been doing. I started off at rank 15, now I'm number 7. Keep going, and make you fight me. If you don't want to fight me, I will make you fight me. And that's
what
I'm
saying. Who do you
want
to fight, Tyson? Who do you want to fight? Who do you want to take you to the next level and prove everybody wrong? Tell us.
I want to fight Scott Quigg. I want to fight the WBA world champion. I want to fight Leo Santa Cruz, WBC world champion. I mean,
will
I want to
fight
all these guys.
Will he
no,
fight
they
you?
Won't fight.
What?
I had a contract to fight Scott Quigg. I signed mine. He didn't sign his. You want to know why? Because he knows what's going to happen if he fights me. He's going to lose his world title. I'm going to bring it back to Halifax. I'm going to fight and defend it, and then I'm going to have a huge party in the Metro Center where everyone in Halifax is invited. And if you're nice, I might invite you.
I'll definitely be there, brother.
I knew you'd wake him up,
right,
Rick.
Here. You've called him out, Tyson.
I knew you were going to wake Tyson up.
Well, hey, man, if you're going to say it, if you're going to walk the walk, you're going to, you know, if you're going to talk the talk, you've got to walk the walk. And Tyson's doing the talking. Let's see if he'll do the walk. And I think he will. He's laid it out there. He said what he wants to do. Now let's see if it happens.
So yeah, and Tyson, something you've teased out recently is you're thinking about actually making a drop to 118. Is that fact, or was that just something that was thrown out there?
I might do it. I can make it. I mean, it's just about being disciplined and stuff like that. You know, I'm just looking for the world title, you know, bring it back to my city, and, you know, so we all can celebrate, be the first one to ever do it, hopefully fight for it, you know, out of Halifax. And, you know, that's what it's all about. It's about making history. That's why we fought in Africville. You know, that was a great thing for me to do. The last fight in Halifax, we took it to Spry Field. You know, we only had $15 tickets for the low-income people so they can, you know, witness boxing. And
I'll tell you, there's something that I want to throw in here before we wrap up, because I've been a boxing fan since I was probably about 8 or 10 years old. And when I started following your career here in Halifax and I decided I was going to come out and see some boxing, I mean, I was an idiot. I thought it was going to be at the friggin' Metro Center. I mean, I thought there were going to be thousands of people or many, many, many hundreds of people for sure packed in to watch boxing of that caliber. And I was shocked to see how small the shows were. And I think a bit of it is tied to what Rick was talking about earlier, where there was the old traditional boxing establishment, sort of the pre-Tyson Cave era, where the boxers were much more sort of technical sluggers. And then you come along with such a different style, and you're the marquee guy. But I don't think that the old boxing audience is interested in that or is ready for that or is going to accept that. How do we go about building a new generation of boxing fans that are going to be into what you're doing and what some of the other boxers that are coming up are into? How are we going to fix that?
I don't know. You know, like, honestly, you know, boxing's a dying sport, and, you know, MMA is definitely doing a lot better right now. We just got to be able to get me to a world title and, you know, hopefully pack the Metro Center or the Forum one of these days, hopefully real soon. And, you know, it is what it is. It's about making your mark. It's about making your mark. As long as you know my name, that's really all I care about. And, you know, representing my family. I got a really great family. You know, I got a great woman, Tanya Young, who helps me. I got a beautiful daughter, Lainey. And at the end of the day, that's what I do it for, you know. So, to me, it doesn't matter how many people are there. There could be 10 or a million in the crowd. I'm still going to be me, and I'm still going to represent Halley, and that's why I'm the Prince of Halley. And I'm going to represent Titans to the fullest. I'm going to support my family in Titans. I'm going to support my family, you know. And that's what it's all about. You know, it's about being me. You might not like me, but guarantee you know me.
Well, thanks a lot, man. I mean, I've known you long enough to know that you're going to do things your way. I've seen you take the odd piece of advice here and there, but, I mean, you typically beat your own drum and do things the way that you want to do them. And, I mean, in your defense, it has gotten you where you are right now. So it's kind of hard to argue with that kind of proof. But, I mean, we're going to be following you. We're going to be supporting you. You know we're in there all the time. And
definitely,
it's just fantastic
luck,
for us to be coming along with you on this ride. If there's anything Rick and I can ever do in our little piece of the world over here, you just give us a shout, man, and we got your back. We'll do everything for you that we can. And I'm going to steal that picture that you put on Facebook of you and Lainey. Did she have a princess tiara on you or something?
Yeah. I was playing princess the other day with her, you know what I mean? I tell her I'm the prince, she's the princess, and, you know, she's always in the gym with me, and she knows what her daddy does, and she'll be the next champ hopefully real soon. So, you know, thanks a lot, guys, for supporting, and always support you guys. And anytime Rick Doyle wants to get in the ring with me, bring it on.
Good luck catching him, Rick.
Yeah. Now, you know...
thanks a lot, champ.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Talk
well, there
second.
You go, Boyd.
Yeah, man. I wish more people out there kind of knew what Tyson had done. I mean, that guy, he is equally loved and hated by the Canadian boxing establishment.
Well,
because he does have that phenomenal talent, and when he puts his mind to it, the ability to push himself to accomplish these absolutely phenomenal goals. But on the other side of the coin, I mean, the guy does like to take his time off, really off, when he's not in fight camp, and he makes absolutely no apologies for what he believes, and he, if the thought comes in his head, it comes out of his mouth, and, I mean, that pisses a lot of people off.
Yeah, there's no question about that. So that's what I figured. Let's just get right to it on this and ask the questions because, yeah, like you said and I said, there's as many people that hate him that love him. He's got his own unique style. He's arrogant. He's cocky. He's loudmouthed. We all know that. But what he's saying is, I don't give a shit. This is the way I am. This is what I do, and I am that good. Prove me wrong. And when a guy is willing to do that, then you got to test him. You got to give him that shot. You know what I mean? It's one thing to mouth off and do the trash talk, but what he's saying is, I will sign any contract. I want those world title shots, and give them to me. So, you know, hey, man, if you're putting her out there and you'll back it up, let's go for it. Let's see this happen.
I tell you what.
Yeah, I mean, he jump in, Skip.
I was going to say, I'd love to see him with his flair and showmanship and ability come out here maybe to Brian Hallquist at Battle at the Boat, one of the oldest boxing promotions on the West Coast. I mean, that would be a great fit for him because, you know, we've got some previous world champs fighting out of there right now, and we have some great up-and-comers. So, I mean, that's a good mix. I'd like to see him come to the States and fight regularly.
Well, I'll tell you, like...
That's actually a really interesting opportunity, man, because I know Brian sent me a message after we had him on talking with Peter about the challenges of promoting MMA, and he said, you know what, you joked about doing an East Coast, West Coast, Canada, U.S. promotion type thing. He said, I seriously really, really like that idea. He said, let's hook up with Peter and talk and see if that's a possibility down the road. But we should definitely connect... Robert Cave, that's Tyson's father, and the local promoter, boxing promoter. We should definitely connect him with Brian as well to see if there's something that they can do, because you never know. It might be if there's a guy who's just barely out of the world champion ranks, maybe that's the next fight for Tyson, somebody who just lost the title.
Yeah, I think it's a really good fit for him. I think the fans, because they're really loyal boxing fans in the Pacific Northwest. I believe Hallquist is like 98, 100, right in their boxing events under his belt so far. And they sell well up here. We have a really big fan base. And he's been bringing guys in from all over to test, you know, other fighters in his organization. And I think his showmanship and his ability would sell some tickets.
Well, here's the thing with Tyson. And, I mean, he is arrogant and he is cocky and he is a huge pain in the ass. You walk into the gym and he's there hooting and hollering and screaming and it just drives you absolutely nuts. But what that is, it's his style. And no, it is. It's his style. And you can love it or you can hate it. But what he is saying is, I am the real deal and I will fight anybody. So you have to respect that when somebody's willing to go that mile is all I got to say about it. And you know what? I've been in there. I've seen him bring groups of kids in. He is the Prince of Halley, and he does have a lot of support from the people that just say, okay, this is Tyson Cave. He's a little bit off. He's a little bit crazy, but he's our boy, and they love him to death.
Yeah, there's definitely that element of it as well.
So anyway,
cool.
is that it for tonight?
Oh, yeah. No, that is not it for tonight.
No?
I wouldn't dare let you go without telling us a little bit more about Professor Paul Abel Wolf Run MMA on Prince Edward Island, because you came back. I don't know the last time I've seen you so excited about a piece of MMA news, but you said those guys are doing some absolutely fantastic work over there, and they have big plans for how they want to approach promoting MMA and training mixed martial artists in Atlantic Canada.
Well, thank you, Boyd. I didn't know if I was going to have an opportunity to put that in there. I mean, somebody in our group has to actually go out and do the investigative journalism that's required, meet the people, find out the real stories. While you sit there and tweet and twerk and Facebook peep and all that kind of stuff, getting your information, I
now
get
listen,
the real.
I'm the Wizard of
real.
Oz. You are Dorothy.
Wow. I thought I was kind of like Batman and you were Robin.
Oh,
that's what was going on.
Let's go, you have Robin Smith.
Let me tell you, seriously, man.
Tell us a little bit about what Professor Abel and those guys are doing over there.
I was very excited when I came back, Boyd, and I called you right away and said we have to go for coffee because I was really excited over what I saw there. And we're going to have these folks on the show, aren't we, like coming right up?
Yeah, actually, I sent a message to Paul Abel a couple of days ago and asked if he'd come on the show. And Jason Sago, who just signed his contract with the UFC, to see if we'd get him on as well. So hopefully even next week we'll be able to have those guys on and find out a little bit more about what they're doing.
Yeah, for sure.
What was it that really impressed you about those guys?
Well, a few things, and we shot a little video as well like we did down at Avaya, so hopefully we can get that up in the next couple of days so people can just take a look inside their gym and see, you know, that kind of stuff, because I think that's nice when we can do that. But this place is located on 945A Upper Meadow Road, and that's in Cornwall, PEI, so that's just outside of Charlottetown, maybe 10-15 minutes outside of Charlottetown itself. And they've been there for about 2 years now, and Wolf Run is the name of the gym, and there's actually a story behind that as well, so we'll get that when we get Professor Abel on here. But the three main instructors at this facility is Professor Paul Abel, Matt McGrath, which we've had on the show. He's a great friend of the show. And this new chap that we have not talked about to this point, but boy, oh boy, are we ever going to be talking about this guy. And I can't wait for an interview, Jason Sago. I think this is – I have never met yet a mixed martial artist like him, so I find this pretty interesting. But to get back to the gym, it's been there a couple of years now, and there's a great story about how they decided to put it on the – where they decided to put it and everything. But to make a long story short, Professor Abel came down from Toronto and settled down there and started that because there was no gyms whatsoever on the island at that time for mixed martial arts. And they do a little bit of everything there. BJJ is his specialty. He's a second degree black belt, and I can't remember right off the top of my head. This is disgraceful, so I apologize. I think it's Hoyler. Yes, it is Hoyler.
Yeah, Hoyler.
He's a second degree black belt under Hoyler. And this guy is like talking to Chuck Norris live. Like, it really is, man. He is the nicest, coolest, scariest guy all put together into one. And all jokes aside, fantastic individual. I can't wait to have him on the show. They've got about 80 members there at their gym, and they're running currently about 12 pros on and off out of there, and they've got, I think it was six amateurs there. So they've got a little bit of everything.
Wow, that's not bad in 2 years.
Yeah, and like he explained to me, all those people were there. They just needed a place to come together. So they've got a real tight-knit family starting to build over there, and it was really great. It was a beautiful gym. When I walked in, there was actually shark baiting going on, and they had invited me to train. And unfortunately, I got tied up at the arm wrestling competition a little longer than I wanted to, and I didn't have a chance to. And I was kind of upset about that because I would have loved to jumped into that. They had Sago up against the wall, and they were shark baiting it, shark baiting him over and over and over again. I felt like I was home, you know, because we get so much of that.
Yeah, I know Mike Malott, who's got a fight coming up. Mike Malott's got a fight coming up in a couple of weeks, and I know he traveled from Nova Scotia over to Prince Edward Island specifically to train with those guys, getting ready for his fight. So I think we might have Mike on the show next week as well. Be able to get a little bit of his insight into the bit of training that he did with those guys over there as well. Well, it's fantastic that you're able to do that, man. That was a super super opportunity to come up, that you happened to be over there with Wade for the arm wrestling and be able to check them out.
Yeah, and I can't wait till we get these folks on there. And I'm just going to give, I'm going to tease you a little bit here, Boyd, on what these folks are looking at doing over there. And this is great because we've never seen this around here. If anybody doesn't know, Prince Edward Island is like the vacation place in Atlantic Canada and really for Canada. I mean, it's just a beautiful island that everybody loves to go vacation on. And what their goal or what their dream is over there is that they establish a gym that if you're coming on vacation, you're going to spend a week on the island, a weekend even on the island, or just drop in for a day or two. They have the facility that you can do that. And, you know, you want to take a weekend and go to Prince Edward Island and relax and have a great vacation, there's a gym that's open to you that you can come in, train at. They're even talking maybe at some point that they would have facilities there, like rooms that you could get, and wow, we have not seen anything like that yet. So very, very cool.
Yeah, that is very cool, and it sounds very much like the way things are done in Thailand at a lot of the Muay Thai camps. And I know Jason Sago's been over there a number of times. I think his nickname is the Zen Master, which I think is interesting. We're gonna have to ask him about that. But he seems like a pretty interesting cat, and that sounds like a pretty interesting way to run a gym. Especially in a place, and I don't know how much you know about Prince Edward Island, Rick, but it's the kind of place that in the summertime, the population balloons up to 4, 5, 10 times the winter population. So for them to be able to draw people in specifically for training or to have people who happen to be vacationing there able to come in and sort of beef up the gym's numbers and get a chance to train with a whole bunch of different people, it's fantastic.
Yeah, as it ever. And, I mean, I can envision this, you know, in the summertime. I mean, if I ever have a free weekend, I know that you and Calculator never have anything on the go. So I could give you a call and say, listen, man, let's just head over to the island for the weekend. We'll do some training and relax on the beach or whatever. Great idea, great concept, and I can't wait to talk to them about it. And I want to thank those guys and gals that were there so much for inviting me in there and letting me watch. And even though it's a pretty closed group right now getting ready for a UFC fight, they don't want too many secrets getting out. But welcome me in there, and fantastic experience. Really enjoyed it.
Well, sure. I want to put out a sort of an open call here because we kind of focused a little bit on Prince Edward Island tonight. If you're in Prince Edward Island and you want to get in shape or change your life, you need to look up either Wolf Run MMA if you're in the Charlottetown area, or Island Impact if you're out around Summerside, and go in and give it a shot because it just might be the most important thing you ever do in your life. And those guys in there have an absolute world of experience like you don't even understand. And you should go in and take advantage of that and do some training with those guys.
Yeah, for sure. Great to see two gyms suddenly popping up over there as well. Give those good folks over there a place to go train in quality facilities.
We've done a little show on some of the New Brunswick gyms. We've obviously talked about the gyms around Nova Scotia. We've now had a little look at what's going on PEI. I'm traveling for a couple of weeks to Newfoundland in July month, so we should hook something up where I get into two or three of the gyms on the East Coast there and maybe do a show while I'm down in Newfoundland even.
Sounds like a plan. I'll
maybe
I'll
even fly in the trash man.
What's that?
I said maybe we'll even fly in Trash Canyon.
Well, I would think people would be pretty disappointed if you walked in there anyway from the BS show. I think they'd be more willing to want to sit down and talk to me about the real, you know, the real stuff going on. But we'll leave that up to them.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll get you screeched in, although that probably happened back in your wrestling days.
I don't think you want to set me loose in Newfoundland, would you? Really?
No. Actually, second thought, maybe this is all a horrible idea, and we'll trash it.
I've been over there wrestling before, but I've never gone to Georgia Street. That's on the bucket list too.
I thought you were going to say I've been over there wrestling before, but I don't remember any of it.
Well, that too. But for anybody that knows, how long is Georgia Street?
Oh, not very long. Maybe 500 yards.
And how many bars are packed into there?
Oh, hundreds. It's the densest amalgamation of liquor-providing establishments in the world, I believe.
Yeah, so
I'd
start at one end and see how far I can make it.
Yeah, on George Street, you don't make it very far. Well, that's a good little point to put out. Anybody listening to this show, look up George Street Festival, Newfoundland and Labrador, and if you want to put something on your bucket list, you go experience that sometime. That and Mardi Gras. I want to give a quick shout out, Rick, to our sponsors, because obviously this is not possible without them, and we're having such an absolutely fantastic time. It was great to hear Jerome Wilson's name thrown around again, and Bianca said he basically took care of her travel for her so she could fly up to Toronto for this upcoming fight. It's just fantastic to see Jerome continuing supporting local athletes. Hemmings House Pitchers, always a huge supporter of ours. Jack Cameron, Draco Impact Sports, Farmbox Films, Wade Graves over at Repo Sales, our now Canadian arm wrestling champion from Nova Scotia. Acadian Fish and Chips, I'm due for another trip out there to carb up. And Agro Photography, like I said, I chatted briefly with Martin, and he is bouncing around ideas and working on a new logo and website design and such for us. And that's pretty exciting. It's going to be it's going to rock, man. He chatted with me a little bit about what he's got in mind, and it's going to be super cool, Rick. You're going to like it.
Yeah, that's great, and I thank you very much for thanking the sponsors there. Boyd, listen, folks, if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be able to do this show, and if there's any of their products that these folks offer, please consider them. If you want to go for supper, somebody, shoot up to Acadia Fish and Chips and just tell them thank you. Thank you for supporting the BS show because they help us, in turn, try to help them support these people. And the other thing is, folks, we appreciate your support. Spread the word of the BS show because it does help. And get people to go on that Facebook page and like that Facebook page because that does help our cause when we're talking with sponsors and that type of thing. A lot of people don't like doing that, but if you take the time to do it, we appreciate it. You've got all these people that sit down and eat their potato chips and drink their pop and watch UFC or Bellator when it comes on television. And we all know them. So get out there, grab those people and say, listen, folks, if you like MMA, why don't you listen to this show or go to this website and learn a little bit about local MMA? Because the guys that you're watching on TV right now, a lot of them are coming from this neck of the woods. Okay? So come see these people. Come learn about these people now because those are your future superstars.
Absolutely, and we got a card coming up on June 21st, and Richard Arsenault mentioned that he's got a guy that he's grooming that's going to be fighting on that card, so that should be super exciting. I mean, Richard's just like a guns-a-blazing kind of fighter, so if he's excited about this guy, I'm super excited to see what he's going to bring now when he arrives. And as we've seen in the past couple of Extreme Cage Combat shows in Halifax, just absolutely stellar quality fights coming from our amateur fighters. So we're going to have whoever did the matchmaking, perhaps for this card on the show pretty soon, to break those down and let us know what to look for, look out for on this card.
Excellent.
And Rick, you got your medicals all submitted. You still got your name in the hat and hoping to get a fight on this card as well?
Yeah, my medicals have been cleared, and they've been sent into the medical commission. I haven't heard back from them yet this week, or I guess they were sent in about a week ago. I haven't heard anything back. My name is in the hat, and I am going through training camp. To be honest, it's really tough. Like, it's, I'm putting everything I've got into it and hopefully get picked and ready to go. So one step at a time. But
well, good on you, man.
We'll see what happens.
43 years young, getting out about 5 a.m. and doing hill sprints before you go to work. You got my respect, brother.
Well, thanks very much. If it wasn't for you and Calculator, I depend on you guys. So thank you. We'll see what happens.
Anytime, man. Anytime.
Yeah. Cheers.
That's a wrap, Skippy. Thanks so much for running the show for us, and we'll get in touch with you to let you know what we got lined up next week. Hopefully we'll be able to have those guys on from Wolf Run. We'll definitely have on Mike Malott as he goes into his fight against Karkula in Ontario in a couple of weeks. Hopefully going to have another maritime trained fighter going into the top five in Canada, Rick. So,
yeah, absolutely.
More exciting stuff.
Yeah.
That guy's a beast. Thanks a lot, Skippy.
Later.
Thank you, Skippy.
Welcome
Always,
to the
brother.
BS Show. Are you ready to shoot the... The BS Show would like to thank their sponsors. Jack Cameron, accredited mortgage professional. Jack can show you the way home. Draco Impact Sports, providing top-quality combat sport equipment tested and used by all levels of athletes. Dominate your world. Reposales.ca, specializing in vehicle and equipment recovery, liquidation, and sales. Hemmings House Pictures, the global movement media makers, helping tell your brand story to the world and accelerate the momentum of your movement. Farm Box Films, capturing stories the way you want to remember them.